It's time now for WNCW's Friday Feature Interview of the Week. We're going to be talking about the book, The Product of Our Souls, Ragtime, Race, and the Birth of the Manhattan Musical Marketplace. Our guest is Western North Carolina author David Gilbert, who has published this, his very first book, and it's about the history of ragtime music. But here's the catch, not the piano-driven tunes that so many of us associate with the genre or Scott Joplin. Instead, it's something else. David, welcome. We're certainly excited to have you with us.
All right, thank you.
Before we get into the details of the book and also mention that you're going to be making an appearance at the Malaprops in Asheville, tell us about yourself.
I'm a visiting professor in American history at Mars Hill University. I've been living in Nashville for 3 years now. In fact, I came here as a place to actually finish this book project. This project began as a PhD dissertation at the University of Wisconsin. You know, I lived around different parts of the country teaching, usually for 1 year at a time. Made it to Asheville 3 summers ago and was kind of looking for musicians. I play in local bands around town, Skunk Ruckus and Plank Eye Peggy. You know, also looking for academic work, and so I'm really happy to be a full-time professor at Mars Hill this year.
The book, The Product of Our Souls, Ragtime, Race, and the Birth of the Manhattan Musical Marketplace. Tell us about this incredible story.
I think it's a really interesting history of African-American music in New York City prior to the Harlem Renaissance, the era prior to the 1920s that many of us associate with the jazz age and, of course, the great music of Fletcher Henderson and Duke Ellington. And this is kind of a prehistory of a lot of the musicians who kind of laid the groundwork, both artistically but also kind of commercially, kind of African-Americans getting in to what I call the Manhattan musical marketplace. And this has everything from Broadway theater, musical theater, to Tin Pan Alley song publishing, and of course the early recording industry that jazz musicians will, you know, transform in the 20s. My book takes place between 1896 and 1919, so I literally end right there, right before the 20s.
David, from the pages of your book, it seems not only was African-American music and early music that influenced so many other genres and artist styles, the black musicians and the African-American fans of this music, they were willing to buy the music, that 1920s time period. And it seemed as if that opened the music industry's eyes.
That's exactly right. It's pretty well known among historians that it really took the recording of African-American singers, especially the blues singers, to really make recording a viable industry. In 1920, Mammy Smith, you know, pretty famously recorded Crazy Blues in 1920 as the first phonograph to sell 1 million copies. And that kind of phenomenon is also true the generation before, that African-American audiences, they're actually living in a neighborhood called the Tenderloin. And so this would be the west side of Manhattan, the 20s through the 40s, 20th Street through 40th Street, modern-day Chelsea, and the meatpacking industry. So this is before African-Americans actually live in Harlem. Folks start moving up to Harlem in large numbers during World War One, of course, with the Great Migration. But in the Tenderloin, it's this thriving commercial marketplace, ragtime pianists, and, you know, there are pianists, people like Scott Joplin. In fact, the sources I focused on were pianists like Ubi Blake and James P. Johnson, folks that we might associate more with the 1920s, again, like Willie the Lion Smith, the great Harlem stride pianists. And a lot of those guys, in memoirs and also interviews, recall their coming up, their youth time coming up in New York, and the guys they looked up to. So Duke Ellington famously looked up to James P. Johnson and Willie the Lion Smith. Those guys looked up to Jack the Bear and One Leg Willie and all these other killing ragtime pianists, again, kind of before stride had become commodified or codified, really, the practice that we kind of associate with that style. I argue that it's African-American ingenuity and also the consuming dollar that really made New York the center of American music.
This is WNCW's Friday Feature Interview of the Week. Our guest is author David Gilbert of Asheville, who's got his first book out, The Product of Our Souls, Ragtime, Race, and the Birth of the Manhattan Musical Marketplace.
As a cultural historian, I'm also interested in, you know, the marketplace and the ways that, you know, capitalism is not just a negative, it doesn't just have a negative influence on cultural creation. I think today, you know, we often, everybody has their own favorite artist, and they're usually kind of below the radar of the mainstream. And you know, we in our heads, most audiences of music, you know, kind of think about the popular as maybe something that bleaches out or dilutes, you know, the great creativity of music. And as a cultural historian, you know, I really think about the positive opportunities that a place like a marketplace or even capitalism itself offers. In the 1890s, New York City wasn't necessarily the center of American popular culture. Broadway Theater, Broadway Avenue was just one street among many in New York that had vaudeville theaters and vaudeville houses on it. As African Americans get onto Broadway as early as 1898 and also start publishing songs through Tin Pan Alley, they have new opportunities to professionalize themselves, to let Americans know, let white Americans know that black Americans have an artistic voice and something that they can trade on, right? They can actually make money, make a living off of. And so I'm really interested in the Manhattan musical marketplace as both a site of transaction and a site of artistic artistry making, at the same time something that kind of influences and packages commodities like popular song, musical theater.
There's a part of your book where you talk about coon songs. Get into that briefly, if you would.
Yeah, well, that's a great example of what I'm talking about. In fact, the coon song was the very first popular genre of American music. It's the first genre that became like a national phenomenon, not just a regional one. And at the time, when coon songs came out in the mid-1890s, being published by whites and blacks, African Americans actually composed and published coon songs, there wasn't much of a distinction between ragtime and coon songs. These genres came about at about the same time. Of course, ragtime, the style of rhythmic, exciting, syncopated music, was around much before the 1890s, and it probably did come up along the Mississippi River, maybe in the southern part, maybe more in Missouri, where Joplin's from. You know, we don't really know the origins of specific styles, kind of like the blues. You know, where did these amazing musical practices come from? I can't really find evidence of one originary. In fact, I prefer to think of styles like ragtime and blues coming from communities over time. But we do know that the first time these things are commodified and packaged and sold was in 1896. Coon songs and ragtime were essentially synonyms. Even in the early time, ragtime mostly referred to instrumental music. The first published ragtime number, the first piece of sheet music that was called a ragtime arrangement, was coon song called All Coons Look Alike to Me, very derogatory title. But what's really interesting is that it was written, published by a black man, Ernest Hogan, the Unbleached American.
I would now say to our listeners, if David has whet your appetite to want to get this book or to even meet him, he's going to make an appearance at Malaprops tomorrow on Saturday, November the 14th.
Well, thanks for mentioning that. It's at 7 o'clock. It'll be roughly 7 to 9. And, you know, I will be reading some selections from my book, but very short ones, more to kind of introduce some characters. I imagine Malaprops will be carrying the book after, not just during this talk this weekend, and I think Malaprops will have it. Also, Harvest Records over in West Asheville, a great record store. Of course, UNC Press, which is the publisher, uncpress.unc.edu, University of North Carolina.
The book is absolutely fascinating. We want to thank you for being our guest on the Friday Feature Interview of the Week, David Gilbert. Good luck with The Product of Our Souls, Ragtime Race, and the Birth of the Manhattan Musical Marketplace.
Thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate talking to you about this.
The Friday Feature Interview of the Week, also available as a podcast. Go online to wncw.org.